Hey, they call me the meat man. Y'all don't see me eat now. Hit on the meat man. Y'all don't see me eat now. I got jaws like a bear trap, a teeth like a razor. I made tack tongue with a sensitive taster. I was born out in Texas, called the land of beef. Never catch a muscle greener, showing a hell of like a meat on the meat man.
You're listening to The Best Barbecue Show, the show where we talk, taste, and even try to cook the best barbecue in Texas, which is the best barbecue in the world. We just went to Houston, and we got a ton of meat.
That's right. More meat than we could handle. We carted it all back. But I'm done with it now. I plowed through my leftovers in a day.
Nice. Yeah, we took a day or two. That Duroc rib was a challenge for the lady.
Ooh, yeah. That was awesome. I gave all those to our mutual friend, Matt, because I knew he loved pork ribs. So I didn't eat those leftovers. But that was the biggest pork rib I ever had from Corkscrew Barbecue.
Yeah, it was one of those. It looked like it came from one of those giant feral hogs.
I saw a horror movie about a killer hog one time, and it looked like it came from that beast.
The beast that Corkscrew took down and made into deliciousness.
It is a true, true pork rib. Like, sometimes those can be pretty meager. We had some from a fast food place recently. Some of them didn't even have meat on them bones, but this was like all meat.
Yeah, fast barbecue food, so not that fast. But barbecue is pretty quick if the place is set up right, you know. Corkscrew had a pretty good setup. Tejas had another, you know, kind of an iPad, will bring you your food or get it at the window type situation. It's a good time for barbecue, man. We had a great time just driving to Houston, exploring. We had tons of fans hit us up, and there was tons to see. We got to tour around with Ben Sasani a few times.
Yeah.
Went to Victorian Barbecue. We got 3 weeks of Houston here, guys.
It was a whirlwind trip. We were eating constantly, even at places we weren't recording at.
Yeah. Well, I have a whole list of non-barbecue places, like fried chicken and donuts and stuff, that I want to try. And I dragged Stover along for a lot of that. If you were watching the live feed, you probably caught some of it.
Yeah, sometimes we've doubled up on meals. We've gone to two lunches, but this time it was like four lunches, two dinners, and a couple chocolate breakfasts.
Yeah. Dude, you don't even... I'll be drinking coffee and eating anytime, especially when I'm out of town. I have to explore. It's like a deep need inside me.
Houston is an amazing food town, we learned firsthand.
Well, and as soon as I stopped at a place and took a little selfie or made a little Instagram story, I got hit up by other Houston people. Oh, if you're over there, this place is down the street. Go to this restaurant. Get the noodles here. I was like, oh, I'm already overdoing it. These guys are just adding to it.
So what we learned is one trip to Houston is definitely not enough. So we're going back in April.
Yeah, a week in Houston is probably what we need.
God, we should probably just move to Houston. There's so much.
I don't know about that, because the other thing that I learned about in Houston is the traffic.
Yeah.
You Austinites, you think the traffic's bad in Austin. Houston's got us beat by a mile.
Yeah, and you LA people, man, try driving around the loop in Houston. If you live there, it takes you an hour and a half to get across town. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, we actually could have eaten more barbecue if we didn't have to drive through Houston traffic. But it allowed us to digest.
Down. Yeah, I mean, like, I wish we could just teleport or take one of those hyperloops that they're going to build straight from barbecue to barbecue.
Nice.
Think of how much we could eat.
And it was nice. We hitched a ride with a buddy who has a big pickup truck, so we showed up in the proper vehicle to eat barbecue as well.
Yeah, again, when we do it right. Just like Houston does barbecue right, we do barbecue right.
Speaking of Houston, today we're going to talk about Corkscrew Barbecue. We sat down with Will and Nicole there, and these guys have got a great thing going on, and they love the Houston barbecue life. You know, how's Houston barbecue life?
It's fantastic.
It's awesome.
We have no complaints.
No complaints.
What's a day in the life of a Corkscrew like?
Busy?
Yeah, I mean, it's hectic. I mean, you run until we get this place open at 11 a.m. There's plenty to get done. It's nothing short of a miracle usually to get the doors open, but
seriously.
Yet every day it happens, right?
Every day it happens. Yeah. We pull it off.
Yeah, they do. I mean, geez, I could have ate there all day if we didn't have to go back home.
Yeah, it was cool. They had just a bunch of interesting sides, and the peach cobbler was awesome. I went almost for thirds on that one.
Yeah, I mean, we focused in on those pork ribs because they were such, like we said, monsters. But, you know, everything was off the chain. You had that brisket, of course.
Oh, the brisket was killer.
That's an Angus Prime they use.
Yeah, and that's a much nicer cut of meat. And you can tell. They also, I think it was one of the guys at the San Antonio Fest were saying that the nicer meats, you don't have to cook them as hard. You can, or you can cook them harder. That's what they said.
Yeah, yeah. The low and slow helps turn like a select into a prime.
So they turned a prime into what? Snake River's Gold?
I don't know. You know, when I'm, like I said, when I'm eating it, it's the best thing I've ever had. So they made actual gold.
It's delicious. And not only are they great at making the food, but the staff is exceptional. Since we've come in here, the doors have been held open for us. Our order was taken so specifically, we even initialed the to-go and the for here parts. Like, you've got some good guys in there. They're solid.
We have an excellent group of team members in there. I don't see how we could have done better.
I don't either.
Most of these guys, we opened a little over 2 years ago in this location, and most of these guys are first hires.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. We've only had a little bit of a turnover, and it's, I mean, three or four people.
Yeah.
And
it's a handful of people over the last 2.5 years. So we've,
and a couple of them have begged to come back after they quit.
Nope.
And that's a no-go.
Not today, Junior.
So Will and Nicole Buckman, who you heard there, first opened up a trailer in 2011, but now they have a really awesome brick and mortar, huge outdoor space. They got a bunch of footballs and toys for kids out there. It's awesome.
They've also got a huge Moberg Spoker out there that we talked to them about.
Yeah, we first saw that at the Texas Monthly Barbecue Fest this year. But they were out of food, so we had to go down to Houston to try it.
And hopefully we'll see them again at the Houston Barbecue Fest as well.
They will be there, April 15th.
We're going to have to like jump the fence early just to try everything so they don't run out of food.
I think we just need media passes, so let's get that done, people.
The other cool thing about, I mean, I can't talk highly enough about how well their staff worked, but they talk about how a lot of their staff moves on to better jobs because it's so much hard work and you learn so much cooking barbecue.
We want everybody to succeed, and if they find something that they're better at and want to do that's, you know, their purpose or whatever,
fulfill a passion.
We are absolutely,
go do it. We're behind you.
Yeah.
Well, and this is a great training ground for hard work.
Yes.
I mean, if you can work here, there's not a lot of jobs you can't do.
No.
That's right.
And we do ask a lot. Trust me. I mean, we know we ask a lot, but you know, they're.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who wants to work a boring job, right?
No.
No, thank you. No.
Time flies when you're working hard. Yeah, I eat lunch around 9 a.m., 9:30.
I bring him lunch.
So you about to hit the sack soon?
No, unfortunately not. I've learned to deal with 4 or 5 hours of sleep pretty well.
Now, you're cooking on Oilers. Usually, Oiler guys get some rest.
We do. That's one of the beautiful things of the Oiler, and I do get rest these days. It's been beautiful.
Rest is good.
Yeah, having a machine that you can throw a bunch of logs in and take a nap is definitely gives you a break. For all those home smokers out there, I'm sure they know it's a lot of work.
Well, we have a lot of people that say offset's the only way to go, and I love a good offset. First of all, it's majestic, it's beautiful, you can build one yourself, but sometimes you just need to crank through the meat, and I'll tell you what, I couldn't tell the difference between their food and like an offset. It was just as good to me.
One of the challenges of eating barbecue is it's a different day. Your palate may be different. You know, the wood they cook it with is different. It's so hard to compare these things because there's so many different things that affect the flavor. But like you always say, Stover, the best barbecue you've ever had is the one you're eating right then.
Yeah. And they use red oak, which is a little different, but it's still an oak, which is used in Texas.
Yeah, and they didn't start that long ago. Will used to work for AT&T and just started cooking. So you went from driveway to trailer?
Yeah, we did. We made the decision. We were doing little catering jobs. I would stay up all night and cook. In the morning, I would go to work. Nicole would slice and pan everything, make all the sides, the barbecue sauce, and deliver it to where it needed to go. And we were
working with big companies.
We
like
were
Anadarko and CB&I, and they had no idea.
We got big enough where I was using, I think I had 5 weeks of vacation a year, and by the end of February, start of March, my vacation would be gone. And that was the point that we decided, look, we're young enough, let's give this a go. We can recover
and
if it doesn't
work
out.
And his boss encouraged him. He
nice.
Said that,
yeah, he did.
You're awesome and go out and do it. And he still comes to see us these days.
Perfect.
He was here just a few weeks ago.
Well, so. Shout out to AT&T.
Yeah, right.
And you've cultivated regulars. over the years?
Oh, yeah. We have tons. I mean, we still have guys that come in here who were there the very first week. I think Wood Forest Bank actually kept us open for the first 6 months of us getting our trailer going. Yeah, because they were down the street, and they're huge. It was their actual corporate office, and we would have quite a few of them every day, and they would let us cater and stuff.
Only in barbecue can you go from working for AT&T, opening up a food cart, and then just 7 years later, you're number 7 on the Texas Monthly Best in Texas Barbecue list.
Yeah, and he started cooking in his driveway. They didn't mention it in the interview, but they actually were kind of doing some underground style, kind of like Moose and Trudy's and some of those other LA guys. And so they're straight from the underground. Now, having a cool building, there's old signs. It's a pretty cool space. We asked him about it.
Now, I see a ton of old signs. There's some old coolers. Was this an old restaurant?
It was an old restaurant. For 24 years, it was a burger joint.
Really?
Yep.
Do you remember what it was called?
Hyde's Cafe.
Hyde's Cafe.
Yeah, we bought it from David Hyde himself.
That's amazing.
On a handshake. It was
That's
awesome.
Real Texas shit right there.
Yeah, his realtor was pissed.
Yeah, and I love those stories just of, you know, an old building and an old family turning into a, you know, Corkscrew might be there for the rest of their lives. The barbecue business is one you stick with.
It's a good thing they have kids.
Yeah, right? I'm so curious of, you know, they say second generation businesses have, what, a 50% survival rate?
It's sad, yeah.
I'm curious how to inspire your kids to live on the legend.
You just got to do what the Miller family did. Look at that.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what they did. We'll have to ask Wayne just about how to retain family.
I think the dad of them all, what was his name again?
Bobby.
Sorry, we never got to meet him. He died before we started the show. But I think the fact that he made everyone work for him is what did it.
Well, and even at places like Corkscrew, they say people tend to bail when it gets hard.
Typically, when things get hard, people tend to bail. And their success could have been right around the corner. So we just, I think we were crazy enough to stick with it. And it's worked out.
I think back and don't realize how, I still am like, I don't know how we had two little babies. And like, it was crazy. It's just insane. You know, 4 and a 6-year-old. And you're just like, yeah, I'm just going to jump off and like.
Were you guys like pushing cribs with your foot while you're slicing brisket with your hands or what?
Basically. I mean, they were, like I said, they were 4 and 6. So they were a little bit bigger, but it was running to preschool and coming back and running to school and coming back and doing homework in this tiny little trailer. We had a little tiny table set up that they would do their homework and they would eat dinner. And, you know, we were there till 8 or 9 o'clock and it was just him and I. And
him and I, Aquemini.
I just like Stevie Nicks howling in the background during that whole part.
I love it when music sneaks in. Makes me want to sing.
Well, we're lucky because even though they're kind of tucked away, the street behind them, every once in a while, a big semi will cut through. Or I think were there planes flying over them too?
Yeah, they're smack dab in the middle of Old Town Spring just out of Houston. Historic neighborhood, but there's a lot of through traffic.
Yeah. So we just had this interview at just the right time. It was quiet outside. There was a ton of people inside. It was a little chilly, but we were soaking up the sun.
Oh, yeah. Always soaking up that sun.
The other thing that we were soaking up were some of these Duroc ribs.
Yeah, we did soak those up.
And we asked Will about those because they're so unique.
We just had some ribs that were the biggest ribs we've ever seen. Some Duroc?
Yeah, compart Duroc.
And tell us about those Duroc ribs.
Well, as you said, they tend to come in a little bit larger. They've got plenty of meat on them. They've got plenty of fat content. You know, we have a really successful cook with them over and over. That's why we use them.
It's the size of my head.
Yeah, they're big.
Well, and you kind of gave us that fat end rib that was like, I mean, that looked like 2 slices of brisket by itself.
Yeah, they're big. We don't charge by weight on those, basically. Because
oh, really?
No, we don't.
That's crazy.
That's a deal.
Yeah.
No, we charge per rib, per half rack, or per rack.
Well, I appreciate it. That's awesome.
Yes, sir.
You hear that, folks?
Order
Corkscrew.
Yeah, order a whole pig.
<That's> ribs.
They're not all gigantic, though, just to warn you. There is still a small end, so.
Truth Barbecue in Brenham, Texas also uses exclusively Duroc for their pork.
That's a good-looking rib. Looks like the fat renders really well on it.
Well, you've all seen those dino-type beef ribs. Those are huge, but this was like almost getting to that point.
Duroc almost sounds like dino.
It sounds like Klingon. Ribs. Klingon. Yeah,
I think Duroc is a guy, actually. I'll have to go back and look that up.
I don't think you would taste as good.
We can insert a Klingon clip into the episode.
Sensation, meat man.
Oh, me, so hot.
Exactly. What's the thing they always say?
Schlackenbuk lacker. Bukaki.
That's just nonsense.
Kriplach.
That's it. It's like Kersplat. It's a good day to die. Kersplat.
It's a good day to eat barbecue. Say that in Klingon.
Right? Well, we also asked them, you know, these guys are, what'd you say, seventh?
They are number seven.
Texas Monthly list?
That's right.
So, you know, we were curious about what it's like being at the top and, you know, having top-level barbecue.
Oh, man, it's incredible. I mean, it's validation for the hard work, the blood, sweat, and tears. I mean, to be recognized for what you do, I think, regardless of your profession, is super cool. And we're more than happy to be here and represent.
So, you know, this is our first set of episodes on Houston. Can you tell us what the Houston barbecue scene's like? What's it like to cook in Houston?
Man, it's incredible. We've got so many great places that have been here for decades. New ones popping up every day. Houston's a huge city, and I think it's finally being represented very well. And we're getting a lot of recognition for it. Now, for a long time, I hate to say it was a wasteland, but that terminology has been used before. There's been excellent restaurants here for a long time. But I think it's like anywhere else. The scene has been exploding for a long time now. And we're just glad to be a part of the Houston scene and represent it.
And a great variety of places here.
Very Absolutely. Much so, yeah.
And flavors. Even at traditional Texas-style barbecue places, the flavors are completely different.
They are.
Everybody does their own thing, and I think that's what's awesome. Everybody's like, well, what's your favorite? Who's, you know, the favorite? Who's number one? And I think it's hard to really put that down and say what it is when everybody has their own style. I mean, with how they season or what they add with it or...
And just the day
fancy
and
or
the
not
wood
fancy or...
Temperature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, there's so many variables that's why we're strong proponents of not ranking barbecue and just
right.
enjoying barbecue.
Absolutely. I agree with you.
It's kind of relative. I yep. mean, honestly, it's good food is good food.
Count the barbecue on the highway.
You beat me to it. I was going to say something else to Tiny Dancer.
Do yours.
I forgot it now. Listen, guys, we know there's lists. We know everyone talks about the best. Our show is the best barbecue, but when you're around here, eat all the barbecue. Mm-hmm. Come to Texas. The best is a long list. The best is not one. You know, this isn't Highlander. There can be more than one.
It's also infinitely long because by the time you go to the best, there's always some new ones that can be added to the list.
Yeah, the lists come out at most once a year. The Texas Monthly is like every 4 years, and then a lot of the other lists are not that comprehensive. So... you have to really make your own list and then try 10 more places and adjust the list or don't. I mean, I just have them all located on my map. So if I'm near barbecue, I know it.
Well, you just listen to the best barbecue show. We'll point you in the right direction.
Well, not only that, but we'll point you to some awesome equipment. You know, we've been looking at just all the different people making smokers. But what we saw a lot of in Houston was Moberg smokers. There's a big pit. That nice Moberg sitting right behind you.
Yeah, Moberg's, you know.
It's a great pit.
It is a great pit. Their stature of their pits looks so much larger in pictures that I've seen.
I mean, we were just at Tejas Chocolate, mm-hmm. and his pits, like, they don't even leak. It's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, it's a fantastic pit.
And the firebox isn't even hot.
Mm-mm. No, you can
lean
right
on it.
It's awesome.
Yeah, we keep our water bottles on top of the firebox while we're cooking.
Oh, really?
Yeah. For Texas Monthly, I think that was the third cook on that Moberg that was ever done. And I didn't rotate anything. I wanted to see what it would do, fully loaded. And I just let it run all night long, tended the fire, and pulled the briskets when they were ready. Never rotated a thing. They all came out beautiful.
See, that's a real meat man. He goes to the event and just throws something. He's like, I'll just do it this way.
It's a good opportunity to try shit.
That
you
is
know?
Pretty much how he does it. And he, I'm always like... okay, I know he can do it because he's done it 1,000 times, right? But inside, I'm like, oh, why do you do this to me? Because I have, like, severe anxiety.
By the seat of your pants. That's how it's supposed to be done.
High wire act.
Hey, and I'm good. I make it through. I start drinking really early. That's the only problem. And so I'm like, Bloody Marys, anybody?
Tejas Chocolate and Barbecue uses a Moberg, and they call theirs the dude.
Yeah, they even have an awesome big metal sign that says the dude. Or Dude Abides.
The Dude Abides, yeah.
Says Dude Abides.
So do we when we go to Houston.
Right? Speaking of margaritas, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more from Corkscrew.
Yoni, what are you doing?
I'm making t-shirts.
With a jackhammer?
Yeah.
You don't need a jackhammer to make t-shirts, Yoni.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You heard of Amazon, right? Amazon.com?
Yeah, of course.
Well, you can buy a Meat Man shirt on Amazon. No jackhammer needed.
And they print them and ship them all themselves?
Free shipping with Prime membership, and yes, they sell jackhammers.
Free two-day shipping.
That's right.
Wow, well, I guess that's a fun thing to do for our fans. And if you want to support the show, buy a t-shirt.
And send us more jackhammers.
Please.
He's a meat man.
And we're back talking to Corkscrew, yep, about you guys, about the Meat Men. About our fans. So we call our fans the Meat Men, and
it's interesting.
They're a wide range. Are just like you and me, or just like, screw it, let's try something new. But a lot of them will look at, you know, exactly these temperatures and probes and all that. So either you can address them, or you can address you know, the wild ones. But we like to hear what you have to say for our Meat Men and our fans and the people who really like to eat barbecue and cook barbecue. What's your message to the Meat Men?
Keep on keeping on. I mean, a lot of people's heads get cluttered with time and temperatures and all these things. What you need to do is you need to burn a brisket, and then you need to undercook a brisket, and then you need to try to meet it in the middle somewhere. Pits determine what temperature they like to cook at. So if you follow somebody else's guidelines, it's most likely not going to come out the way that you're expecting it to. So, I like to find the sweet spot on a pit, which by sweet spot is find out where that fire likes to rest, and then learn to adjust your cook based on that.
Basically where the smoke starts getting clean?
Where the smoke burns clean, where that temp likes to hold for a longer period of time without you having to jack with it a whole lot. Find out where that pit wants to be, and then cook your meat around that.
And so,
and for Christ's sake, stop squeezing this shit out of your briskets.
That's just for Instagram.
Yeah. That's just pornography.
They just cut a slice and then they squeeze the top. Yeah.
Squeeze all that flavor
expensive
out.
Quit doing that.
Yeah.
So you also use red oak, which is a little different from most Texas smokers.
It is. It's a native. Well, I wouldn't say it's. I mean, it's just what I grew up using. It's a Houston thing, maybe an East Texas thing. I don't know where it came from, but I like the cleanliness of the red oak. I find it to be somewhat mild, and it appeases more palates, in my opinion.
So Will has been on the Meat Man train for quite some time. Nicole is new to it, so she didn't know how to find us when we showed up. So Will told her, look for the guy with the huge mustache, and the guy that's with him looks like you. It's my hair, I think.
It worked, because they were like already holding the door for us when we walked up.
Oh man, we love it when that happens. When we're greeted as the Meat Men.
Yeah, it was funny because this guy came up and introduced himself and didn't even really listen for our names, because I think he already knew him.
Yeah, we've been doing the Instagram thing. You can find us there at Best Barbecue to see our hijinks. And we got a lot of fans that way too. So they know what we look like now.
And also within 5 or 10 minutes of being at a place, we usually break out a handle with a phone on it and go live.
Yeah, Tejas Chocolate. Yoni was standing on the tables getting photos with the chairs.
I like being a spectacle. I used to fight it, but now I embrace it.
Yeah, I mean, me too, of course. I mean, I jumped right in the mud when we took a photo with the Buckmans.
Yeah, that was awesome. Hopefully it didn't get you too muddy.
Wearing our Meat Men shirts.
Yeah, and we were going through our inventory here, and we do still have a few Meat Woman shirts in, I think, medium and large. So if you guys want some of those Meat Woman shirts, they're not on Amazon yet, so you can DM them on the low, and we'll get you one of those.
And if enough of you do that, we will put it on Amazon.
Yeah, we've got some new shirt designs and stuff we're working on, and you'll see those very soon. They have to get approved by our design department.
But I think you just might see this year a barbecue hunk shirt, I bet.
But also, hit us up. We talked to the Buckmans about getting feedback, but we want your feedback as well. Tell us how the show's going. Tell us if we're not articulate enough, or if you're having a great time, or If you want more giveaways, just tell us what you want. We'll do it.
You guys, clearly, you have a very attentive staff.
Yes.
You're very hardworking people. So it sounds like you're worried about people's palates. Where do you get information or reviews? You talk to people all day, or
every angle? Every angle. I mean, we really try to stay in tune with Corkscrew and listen to, you know, the messages, the phone calls, all the feedback that we can possibly get. We're always listening. And
I think we try to put ourselves as a customer and not as a business owner.
Well, and that's where Smart. We came from. You know, we opened this business from the customer aspect.
Right. We know what we like, and we try to go with that. Nothing's more frustrating than when you get home and something's missing. So when somebody calls us and they're like, hey, this was missing, we try to be as sympathetic as possible because we know that's frustrating. Whether it's just bread or pickles and onions, maybe you're really looking forward to those pickles with your sandwich. You know what I mean? So I think people just need to understand that, you know, more business owners are on their side, I guess, sometimes than what maybe they think they are.
If you do things to please yourself in this business, often you'll find a lot of fans.
Well, and if you listen to your fans and you listen to the people that love your food, it's probably pretty easy to figure out what you need to change, if anything.
Totally.
So they also talked about the concept of Corkscrew and kind of how they got there. We got free refills brought to us while we were sitting here, so you guys pay attention.
Our concept is really like, yes, you have to wait in line and order at the register, but we're going to take care of you completely for the rest of the time. We're going to box up your food. We'll get you boxes. We'll refill your drinks. I mean, we'll take your kids outside and play football with them. I mean, we'll help you out in any way possible.
Well, there's tons of footballs around here, I say.
There is. We have lots of stuff outside. Kids love it.
You heard it from the source. If you want top-grade food and top-grade customer service, Corkscrew Barbecue.
Their platters are pretty, too.
Yeah, they have beautiful platters of meat. I mean, they actually mentioned that their platters are Instagram-ready. That was not only one of the best-made plates, it was one of the best-looking plates.
Thank you.
So I don't know if you told them who it was going to or if that's how they make
all
them. All
of our plates
all of them come out like
have
that.
To be picture-ready.
They're Instagram-ready.
They have to be.
We actually just had an article in the Chronicle that was talking about the way that Corkscrew plates the trays.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll have to send us a link to that.
I'm huge on it. If you talk to my guys, they will just bang their heads on the wall, listening to me constantly. Yeah.
They're all watching each other.
Move this around and change this and this. Yeah.
Well, look at how excited everyone is when the tray comes out.
That's the whole thing. Yeah. It's your eyes. Yeah. I mean, your eyes are.
You see it walking towards you and you're just like, it's a picture.
I could tell he was excited to show it to me. I was like, oh, okay. This is what we're working with.
That's what she said.
So how do people find you? You guys are on Instagram. Anything else? Social media?
Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, our website. I mean,
is it just at Corkscrew BBQ?
Yes. And then Will's also got his own. That's at Pitmaster_Buckman. So nice. If you want to talk to the Pitmaster directly, you can. I am the one who takes care of all the rest. So you're talking to me if you are on any of the other medias.
Gotcha.
Will, if you go to Instagram.
Yep.
And we'll pass on notes if you send it to us too.
Yeah.
There you go. Pass them on.
Yeah. Send us everything.
You can answer all the questions.
Our fans love to talk our ears off. So.
Yeah, BCCS on all correspondence with barbecue people.
If we're having a slow news day, we'll just call up fans and put them on the radio. They love it.
That's awesome. Hashtag meat man.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I had so much fun talking to them. They were just a great couple.
It feels like a couple new friends when we were leaving. Like, we were only there a couple hours, but little do you know, you can really connect.
Yeah, we're going to have to stop. We'll get food, but for whatever reason, I'll always stop there if I'm in the area.
Yep, just say hi.
Take the long way into Houston, kind of go up and around.
We do have to go to Houston again because we had, like we said, a lot of people reaching out to us wanting to meet up. One of those was Willow's Texas Barbecue, a food truck in Houston, a fan of the show, a meat man. Also friendly with the Buckmans as well, so he's tied into the scene. So Willow, we'll catch you next time. And then one of our biggest fans, Dirty Sprocket.
Dirty Sprocket, the guy that's in our DMs like the moment our episode ends.
Yeah, he's big on those contests. He knows the secret to winning the contest, Yoni, which is to listen to it right when it comes out.
Well, and I'll give away one of the secrets, which is Stover usually puts them on the moment they're published, which means he knows the moment it ends because he's listening to it the moment it comes out.
I start the show right when it's published, so I know, like, if someone enters before that, they're cheating. And last week, two people entered at the exact same time, almost just a second or two past.
Yeah, I had to tell someone they lost by 12 minutes the week before that.
So at first, people were entering days past, and now they're being trained to listen on the first day because you can win stuff.
Well, and I think we're picking up some more subscribers, and we're just seeing a lot more people using podcasts in general. It's still kind of an emerging technology.
We've grown in love with giveaways. It's fun to hand out stuff.
Well, and it's great because it just adds to, you know, all these barbecue places are their own community, and then they love giving to our community. You know, they just give us bags of stuff to give away, t-shirts, hats. I mean, we got a pile started, so we need to do giveaways just to keep our inventory low.
Yeah, so listen and subscribe and pay attention every Monday because that's when you're going to win it.
Yeah, it's going to be a question right about now.
How did Nicole Buckman spot the meat men when they walked in?
Yeah, what did she use to spot us?
There are two things.
Two things.
So go back and listen if you don't know, but you probably do know if you're a fan of the show. We don't try to make it too hard.
And then if you want a bonus, we've got a Traeger koozie that we got from the Traeger guys that were on the last episode. If you want to tell us where the ribs come from or what kind of ribs they have at Corkscrew, as well as the truth, we'll send you that koozie.
That's right. So the first question, you can win a Corkscrew barbecue t-shirt that has a license plate that says brisket on it. And the backup prize, you got a nice Traeger koozie.
Yeah, those brisket shirts are popular too. I've seen them at a lot of other barbecue spots.
A meat man from another state actually sent us a picture of his actual license plate that said brisket.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's a good thing to steal when you're not in a barbecue state. Well, so coming up, we're going to be doing some more Houston. We got two more weeks, and we'll be doing more giveaways. We may even have some new shirts between now and the next few episodes. So stay tuned. Go eat some meat, and have a good week.
Meat man.
Y'all to see me eat, man. Hit on the meat, man. Y'all to see me eat, man. I got jaws like a bear trap, a teeth like a razor.
This has been a production of Glenn Cliff Media,
recorded live in Austin, Texas.